free. So let me give you that. Well, happy Easter, everybody. And you know, God really just want to take a moment. If you're a guest of ours this morning, I want to just take a moment out to recognize what the Lord did in our midst last Sunday here, and the reverberations of that have gone through the church this week. And I believe that was a seminal moment for us as a church last weekend, and is going to set the course for what's coming. We've been on a journey as a church, as Karen mentioned this morning, since the beginning of the year in the book of Joshua, learning what it means to possess the promise. I'm actually going to, in a sense, take a short hiatus from that series this morning to focus in on the victory of God, which really, in many ways, is what the book of Joshua is all about. And Jesus and Joshua share the same name, as we've talked about. And Joshua's whole story, really, is a picture, together with Israel, of God accomplishing the very thing that we're going to talk about this morning, and that's the victory of God. But the Lord did a lot here last week, and when we gather next week, you'll be hearing testimonies from different people of the way in which God touched them, as Karen shared indeed this morning. So, you know, the story of Easter, and that's what this is. This weekend is Easter, and this is Easter Sunday morning, is really the story, and always has been, of a contest. A contest for your life and mine. It's the story of how Jesus Christ won that contest. Easter really is about the victory of God. That contest has been going on for as long as humanity has existed. Just about. The two contestants in that contest are the uncreated God, in whose image you and I have been made, and the devil, a created and fallen being who wants to destroy that image in us. The Garden of Eden, if you go back to Genesis, the chapters 2 and 3, the Garden of Eden was the place where that contest first began. And if you read that story, you discover that in that place, one referred to as Satan or the devil tempted humanity into something that the Bible calls sin. And that sin brought a resulting separation from God, a loss of his presence, and the marring of that image in which we were created. And Easter is the story of the place and the power that would determine the outcome of that contest that's been going on from then until this very day. So I want to talk about a couple of things related to that contest briefly this morning. The first is the place of victory. The place of victory. The place of victory is the cross. A place that the Bible refers to as Golgotha, or the place of the skull, is what the word Golgotha means. A hillside outside of the city of Jerusalem was the place where this contest between the uncreated God and the created fallen devil would be played out. And we would have thought about that and memorialized that and contemplated that on Friday, what we refer to as Good Friday. The moment of the crucifixion, which is the most significant moment, or one of the two most significant moments in human history. The place where Jesus of Nazareth was crucified, where he was put on a cross, the instrument of Roman execution, which became a symbol. In that moment, for the defeat of God and the death of Jesus, that Satan had actually killed the author of life. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus hung on that cross. And as he hung on that cross, darkness swept over the whole land from noon until 3 p.m. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Because in another place earlier, prior to his crucifixion, he said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down." "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he died. And it really looked in that moment like the devil had defeated God, that darkness had conquered light, that we were forever lost to God. But the truth is so different. On that cross, Jesus took and held back the forces of hell. His crucifixion was a picture of the outstretched arms of God in love and suffering, holding back the forces of darkness that seek to destroy us. He paid with his life, as we sang this morning, so that we could live. Jesus was the unbreakable barrier to the devil and the unstoppable bridge to God. The cross was the point, in truth, of triumph, of victory, not defeat. Paul captures this in a way that few others do in the New Testament. That at the moment of Jesus' cataclysmic defeat was in reality his cosmic victory. And this is what Paul says: "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave all your sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." The cross is a point of victory. It's a point of triumph. The law which condemned us has been canceled. And in Jesus, literally nailed to the cross. And the illegitimate rule of the devil and the kingdom of darkness, what Paul calls here powers and authorities, and what in Ephesians 6 he calls powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, they have been disarmed. You know what that word disarmed means? It means stripped of their capacity to affect the outcome. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He stripped the forces of darkness of their capacity to affect the outcome, rendered them impotent, powerless, and he made a public spectacle of them. How counterintuitive that is, but how inimitably God. There he is on the cross when he is a public spectacle, where he's being scoffed and spit at and condemned, and dying an agonizing death, not just physically, but his very psyche is being split. He's about to be separated from his Father. And there he is. And at that moment, which looks like defeat, is actually victory, is triumph. He's nailing those ordinances to that cross that condemn us. And he is disarming the devil and the forces of darkness. Good Friday is not a moment of defeat. It's a moment of triumph and victory. At the moment of his greatest shame and suffering, through the cross, he disarms the devil and darkness. In Jesus' death, God dealt with the sin that separated us from God, that drove us out of Eden, that caused us to lose the reality of his tangible presence. He paid the penalty of death for our sin. He died in our place. The reason Jesus Christ hung on that cross was to be our substitute. It was a substitutionary death. He died for us because the penalty of our sin is death. And the only one that could pay for that in such a way that we could be reconciled to God was Jesus. So that again, we can enjoy his presence, know him. Not only enjoy his presence, have that image that was marred in Eden through sin restored to us. That's the glory of the cross. It's not just that Jesus has paid for our sin, as wonderful as that is, so that we're no longer separated from God. He, in his death, did what was necessary to restore the image that was broken, that was marred, that was soiled. But the cross is not the end of the story, is it? Which is why we're here this morning. That may be the place of victory, but the place of victory ushers in the power of victory. As poignant and powerful as Jesus' sacrificial and substitutionary death for us was on the cross, that wasn't the end of the contest for our destiny. If it was the end of the contest for our destiny, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we would be the most miserable people on the face of the earth. He says if there was no resurrection, Christians of all people would be the most miserable because we would be deluded into thinking something was a reality when it wasn't. But the cross is not the end of the story. The cross was a precursor to resurrection. Resurrection. Not a spiritually imagined resurrection, a physical bodily resurrection. Jesus Christ was bodily risen from the grave by the power of the Spirit through the authority and command of his Father. Don't let anybody try and pass off on you that this resurrection thing is just a symbolic spiritual image of something the disciples felt but didn't really happen historically. A lot of people have tried to peddle that. Jesus literally, physically rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Good Friday was followed 3 days later by Easter Sunday. Defeat, or what seemed like defeat at the cross, was followed by victory, a victory in which Jesus was raised from the dead. And in that resurrection, he forever defeated not only the devil, but death. The defeat of death means the gift of new life. We sang about that this morning. The defeat of the devil means the gift of authority and power to live that new life. We need both. We need death defeated so that we can live the reality of an eternal life in God through Christ, but we need the authority and power of that life, which comes through the defeat of darkness and the devil, that makes that life possible so that we can live it and so that in the earth we can make known the rule and reign of God. We can make his kingdom life known. This is the power of the victory that comes with Jesus' resurrection, and it means two simple realities, and these are they. The promise of future hope and the promise of present power. I want to talk about each of those very briefly. The promise of future hope. Paul tells us in his seminal passage on the resurrection, which I just alluded to a moment ago, which is 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. What is the last enemy to be destroyed? Death. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. But the reality is that last enemy that one day will be destroyed when God brings an end to the old order of things and ushers in his eternal kingdom where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, Revelation 21, 4b. That's something that's coming. That's something that's going to happen. But that death that will be destroyed, that last enemy, has already been defeated through the power of Jesus' resurrection. This means you and I have a future hope beyond the grave. The grave is an inexorable destiny for every man, woman, and child born onto this planet, with the exception of those that are going to be around living when Jesus comes back. Death is an inexorable destiny. It's coming for all of us. But we have a hope that transcends that grave. We have a greater destiny than the grave. And that hope, by the way, is not simply to go to heaven when we die. Let me just slay that dragon right now. The hope is not just that we will go to heaven when we die and float around as disembodied spirits forever in the presence of Jesus. That is not the hope of the resurrection. That brought some silence into the room. That is our intermediate destiny, not our final one. Our intermediate destiny is to be absent from the body, present with the Lord in a disembodied state. That's not where we're going to land up finally. That will happen intermediately. But our hope is not of us going to heaven. Our hope is us going to heaven and then heaven coming to the earth and us being a part of it. Through the glory of God's cosmic renewal, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This is what it says in the book of Revelation. A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And then we will see and be a part of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. We will then dwell with God, the scripture says, and he will dwell with us in his new creation. We will not only dwell with him, the Bible says we will reign with him. And John reveals, we have been made to be a kingdom of priests, to serve our God, and we will reign. Where? Where will we reign? The new heaven and the new earth will come together. That's our eternal destiny in the fullness of God's kingdom. Yes, we will go to heaven when we die, but God is going to bring heaven to earth. That's the new Jerusalem coming down of heaven. That's our destiny to rule and reign with God for all eternity in a new cosmos, a new creation, where heaven and earth are not separated but joined together because of the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. That's your destiny. If somebody ever tries to pull one over on you that being a Christian, you want to float around in some disembodied state forever in heaven on a cloud, that's not our destiny. We're going to rule and reign in a new creation made possible by the power and resurrection of Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. That's something to get excited about on this Easter. And God says he will dwell with us and we will dwell with him. The promise of future hope, which is ours in Christ because of his resurrection, isn't to remain in that disembodied state. It's to be a part of a new creation with something that God is going to give us for that new creation.